I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Julie Chan. Julie is the founder of Being My Purpose, a social enterprise whose mission is to empower people to know their life purpose and express it every day with courage and creativity. She recently came out with psychic abilities after a 10-year career in economic development in New York City and with degrees from Yale and MIT. Through intuitive readings, purpose coaching, and inner empowerment education, she's coached over 120 executives and entrepreneurs around the world to find clarity, purpose, and fulfillment in their careers, businesses, and lives. Julie supports new or existing inner empowerment nonprofit programs for youth and adults. She's also on a mission to bridge science, business, and spirituality by bringing together experts in these fields. Julie, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thank you, David, for having me.
So I wonder if we could start off by you're describing what coming out is.
Yeah, so I was not one of those people who you might imagine as having psychic abilities when they were kids. This was actually something that happened to me 5 years ago when I was a grad student at MIT. And so during that time, I was on campus. I was a lead project manager for an affordable housing development competition, and we had been working as a team on this project for several months. And on the last day, when the project was due, everything just seemed to go wrong. And, you know, printer issues, we were seriously in danger of missing the deadline. And I didn't even know what to do at that point. And so one of my colleagues called me and told me, you know, why are we in this mess? You know, could this have been avoided? And, you know, you're not a great project manager. And for some reason, this triggered me. And I hung up the phone and I just started sobbing and hyperventilating. And I had never actually experienced this. And looking back, I think it was an anxiety attack of some sort. And so I lived on the third floor in Cambridge at the time in this large apartment complex, and I noticed that a bird had actually landed on my windowsill. So I walk over, and I'm still sobbing. You know, I could barely see through my tears, and I notice it's a robin. And it actually takes some effort for a bird to land on the windowsill because it's one of those windows that push out. And when I see this bird, I think, you know, you're so beautiful, you're so free, and I just want to be you. And so this became my first intuitive moment. I didn't know it at the time, but this incredible sense of peace rushed through my body from head to toe. And I had this incredible knowing in my heart. I could feel it in my heart area. I heard it in my head on the right side, and I saw this flash of an image go across my mind's eye. And it felt like every cell in my body just knew that everything was going to be okay. And at that moment, the bird flew away. So nothing like this had ever happened to me before, and it kind of threw me for a loop, but it gave me the space to make whatever phone calls I needed to make. And we ended up submitting this proposal in. A month later, it turned out that we had won this competition and we were able to fund our nonprofit. And so what started was this extreme hunger to understand what happened to me and where these intuitive senses were coming from, where this information was coming from. And that became a very closeted journey of learning and discovering what that was. So for a good number of years, I'd say it was around four years, I was very closeted about what had happened and what I had experienced and the kind of spiritual development learning that I embarked on. And it was really only my husband who knew about it. I felt uncomfortable, you know, really telling my parents about it or my family or my friends, even even some of my colleagues or business partners at the time. And so it got to a point where I felt like the message I had to share was stronger than whatever fear of judgment or ruining my reputation came. And so when I say I came out with intuitive abilities, it really was a long process of coming to terms with how I felt about it. You know, I didn't go to MIT to be known as spiritual. I went to MIT to be known as rational and analytical. And so it took a lot of inner reflection and courage to actually share this gift with people. And so the more I did it, the more I became more confident and saw that, you know, people didn't run away screaming, but that if anything, people were curious and wanted to know more and wanted to know how they could tap into their own abilities as well.
You know, as you're describing this experience, it occurs to me, given the fact that I have 7 years of engineering education, I don't recall any time during any of the classes I took that anybody taught me about fear and anxiety and how to address them, because they certainly occur with regularity in business and in life. And I think what you're describing sounds to me like the way you react when those kinds of emotions really seem like they're crippling you can have a profound impact on what happens next to you and to your to how you interact with your environment.
Right. Yeah. And I think now with this knowledge, looking back, everything I see can now be boiled down to, you know, where am I on the spectrum of fear and where am I on the spectrum of joy and love? And at any given moment, I can be experiencing something along the lines of fear, whether it's, you know, being an introvert, knowing that I have an event coming up, let's say, that's going to have X number of people that I don't know, and being and speaking in public, and that will automatically bring my physiology into, you know, my heart might start pounding, my mind might start racing, and might regret even creating the event in the first place. And that still happens even with the number of events I've spoken at. But there is kind of a mental override or an intention that can really tell the fear, you know, it's everything is okay. I've done this before. And to just let my heart lead. And I know that whenever I do that, I've even found in my life that I used to be one of those people who were ultra prepared for presentations. I would have to have everything nearly memorized. But now I'm able to really tap into more of a flow and let the words come out through me.
Yeah, it's interesting. Fear of public speaking is one of the biggest anxiety producers in people. And there are well-known stories of famous performers that get stage fright every time they go on stage. So tell me a little bit about how your understanding of fear and joy connect with business plateaus.
So when I experienced my plateau, and this was before I actually left my full-time job in economic development for the city of New York, to create my own company, being my purpose, I think everything could be boiled down to fear and joy. There was I can't remember a particular moment, but I remember this increasing sense of there's something missing in my life, even though the work that I did and the career I was in was completely impactful. If you hear about people talking about purpose in work and in business nowadays, what I was doing, impacting entrepreneurs across different sectors, whether it's biotech or health tech or media tech in New York City, all of it was so impactful. And yet I didn't feel satisfied at that point. I think it was this empty feeling that there was something that I wanted to create and that I was fully capable of creating out in the world. I didn't know what it was, so there was that level of uncertainty. And I also had that fear of, you know, I've never been an entrepreneur creating my own vision. Maybe I worked with other entrepreneurs, maybe I, you know, helped these entrepreneurs through my own work in economic development, but I had never been the sole visionary and implementer. And that scared me. And it took a long time for me to actually look at that and see, you know, where does this come from? Is it from just not being confident in my own ability, or the fact that by creating a business that was actually had nothing to do with economic development, that was actually what prompted a lot of the fear, because I was so used to getting all of these credentials and so used to climbing ladders that suddenly creating a completely different ladder or something else that's not even a ladder, that was such a huge disconnect and unfamiliar with what I had experienced before that I didn't even know what to do.
No, sure. It's a totally different framework that you probably weren't prepared for. So that actually is an interesting point, because one of the things that I find causes entrepreneurs and business leaders to feel stuck is especially those who have been in leadership roles for a while, is the fear of what the next step they take may lead to. And entrepreneurs generally have way more ideas than they have capacity to implement any of them. By capacity, I mean time, money, etc. So entrepreneurs tend to generate lots and lots of ideas. They look around them and they see other people achieving what seem to be breakthrough success. And particularly when you start getting stuck, it's really easy to get overwhelmed by looking at what seems to be other people like you doing really well, and all these ideas that you are not so sure can actually help you get any further on your journey. And so figuring out how to address those fears and how to move forward through them, beyond them, etc., can be very challenging.
Yeah. When I was about to leave my job, there's a customary tradition where everyone sends out a farewell email to the company saying, you know, thank you for everything. Here's my personal email address. Here's my LinkedIn. And I considered, should I tell people everything? Because people within my work had known me as being in urban planning and economic development, accomplished XYZ, and not many people actually knew that I was then creating a company to empower people to know their life purpose using intuitive abilities. And part of me thought, well, should I just put my LinkedIn profile or just the link and call it a day? Because there was this fear of, well, you know, this is unfamiliar for a lot of people, or that I had built up this reputation, and what if this company doesn't work? Will I get a job afterwards?
Yeah, those are really, really common fears.
Right, and like, what am I setting myself up for? So I actually did my own reading in my cubicle, and it said that I had been focusing solely on myself by thinking about that, and that I need to focus on whoever it is who will receive the message of that this is even possible, and that someone is willing to share that story to demonstrate that, that, you know, I'm brave enough to do this. So I sent the email out to 400 people. I, you know, held my breath and then pressed the send button. And afterwards, it just opened up this space for people to email back and say, wow, you know, I'm so inspired. The reason why I'm here is because I don't know what my purpose is, or I don't know what the next step is, and I'm afraid. And even people I didn't know. So that was one of the first moments that just helped me see that there are so many people out there who are feeling stuck, and that, you know, maybe they've tried all the rational ways to actually get somewhere. You know, maybe finding another job isn't exactly the answer, or finding another career isn't exactly the answer, and that there's something deeper that needs to be looked at.
It's amazing how we're programmed by school and our culture to think in such a linear fashion, and in a way that has lots of limitations on what we can achieve, and how when we free ourselves from those limitations, there's so much more that we can achieve. It's interesting how many people that I've interviewed on this podcast have talked about taking advantage of opportunities when they arise, and how these opportunities were not generally planned for. And when I probe and ask, well, what made you think that this was a good opportunity? The answer is usually, it was just my intuition. I had a feeling that this is something I should pursue, as opposed to some rational analysis that says, oh yeah, this either slight pivot or this new path or new direction is something that's going to lead to much greater fulfillment, greater success, you know, major positive change in their company. It's I'm just reflecting on what you said about the self-limiting beliefs, that they really hold us back.
Yeah, and I've discovered in strengthening my intuitive muscle, which I think everyone can strengthen, that where my performance seems to be the best is when I combine my rational mind and my intuitive mind and actually lead with my intuitive mind. So I may take in all these inputs from what I've learned, you know, maybe it's quantitative, maybe it's from my own past of what is possible. And then the intuitive side looks at a completely different set. I mean, really, it's infinite possibilities. It doesn't even look at your limiting beliefs. And then to really lead with it. So one example is when I first started my company, I was looking trying to inform people in my network of what I'm doing now, what I'm up to, and I always go back to my own intuitive readings, but my readings kept saying to reach out to this specific former colleague of mine and to tell her everything. This was actually maybe right before I was really public about it. And for a number of weeks, I was just like, why would I reach out to her? She's the most rational person. You know, I knew her in the tech industry. And I didn't want to, my rational mind just said, like, this is not a good idea. But with every single reading I did for every single day for the next few weeks, it just said, you know, just reach out to her. So finally, I caved in. I finally let my intuitive mind lead. And I said, okay, I'll set up a meeting. And I told her, and when I, you know, sat in the office with her, I could feel my body just shaking as I was about to speak my truth. And once it came out, I felt physically better. And she just told me, oh, you know, there's a member of her family who's psychic. And she had grown up with that, maybe never told anyone about it, or, you know, in a colleague or business setting. But this this also opened my eyes to how many people who operate at, you know, the upper echelons of the business or entrepreneurial worlds, they have their own experiences and they rely on them to make decisions, or they may have had past experiences that they couldn't explain. And by hearing my story, they're then finally able to connect, maybe for the first time, to share their story.
So, Julie, coming back to entrepreneurs and executives who may feel stuck, what suggestions or tips can you offer that may give someone some tools to be able to start leading with his or her intuitive side?
One is to be aware of when they get, or when you get your most creative ideas. And these are usually times where, you know, you might be in the shower and, you know, you might be thinking about a problem and having it looped around in your mind, but you then get a eureka moment when you're in the shower and you're fully relaxed. Or it might mean maybe it's running or cycling that does it for you, or the creative arts. And it's painting does that for me, singing does that for me. So one way is to really cultivate how much time you spend in those environments, and to see them not just as leisure, or see them as, you know, not important or not revenue generating, but to really see that as an environment to cultivate your own intuitive senses and to let your mind wander. So that's one.
That's a great tip, because they generate creativity. Mm-hmm. And if you schedule those activities that you know are likely to generate creativity, you could have more creativity as a result.
Right. And it kind of, sometimes it butts against the limiting beliefs that people have that, you know, oh, I don't have time to do arts. And that's more of self-care, or that's not important or not valuable. But really, to flip it around and see that as one of the more important things that you can do for your business and also for your life. Yeah. Another one is to really look at where your fears are. And I realize I focused a lot about talking about mine, because that is really where the growth is. And so... So for me, part of my own soul's purpose is to share my story. And my whole life, I had grown up a complete introvert, barely able to speak with, you know, more than one person, and definitely not speaking in front of in public. And so having that as my soul's purpose let me realize that by looking at my fear and just seeing it for what it is, and then realizing that it is my purpose to actually speak and use my voice, that then allowed me to transcend my fear. So the first step that I'd recommend is really to just look at the fear and know that there's probably some deeper life lesson that you can learn and really break through that then allows for the most growth.
That makes sense. Julie, whom do you know personally who's been really successful at using some of these techniques that you've described to smash plateaus?
So I think there are many different techniques. There's more of the mindset work, and then there's also actually using your own intuition. And the way I do it is kind of two-way channeling, where if I have a question, I'm able to actually receive information in real time as opposed to, you know, waiting for it. So there's one company, and actually my husband, Robert Sanchez, is one of the partners that has been really open and working with me to use intuitive information to inform how they approach business decisions. And so that has been really eye-opening for me to see that there is so much available and so much acceleration that can happen when people then include their intuition within a business context. So they've been able to pivot from one business area. They were doing business development to now developing new technologies. They've been able to focus on actually the name of their technology that they are working on. There was some, you know, doubts about whether or not they should move forward with a particular name for their branding exercise, and using their own intuition, also using some of my readings, they were able to come to that conclusion. So that's one example I'll give. And there are others where they may not be open about, or may not be fully sharing that they use their intuition or readings in some way, but I'm sure there are many people out there who use this information as an input, just the same as someone might use analytical or quantitative data as one input.
Sounds great. Well, Julie, you've been at your business now for several years. What do we have to look forward to in the near future from you?
Yeah, so I've been coaching individuals, and these tend to be senior level or mid-level nonprofit and corporate executives, as well as entrepreneurs. I've started doing what I call business purpose readings for startups and small companies. So that's been kind of a new growth area for me. My next step is actually in really creating an environment for the possibility of full openness and expression, so that people from all walks of life, including entrepreneurs and executives, can be open about their own intuitive abilities or their interest in how it affects their own personal or professional decision making. So I'm organizing an event in January, and hopefully this will be a whole series of events to bring together people who are in the business world, the scientific world, and the spirituality and psychic world to come together to talk about, you know, what more needs to be done. Is there more research that needs to be done to really make this dialogue more open and more productive for the field?
Yeah, it sounds like a great combination to have at an event.
Yeah, it's been extraordinarily exciting because a number of my colleagues and people I had known from the Yale network are kind of popping out. There's a Yale affiliated psychiatrist who was studying psychics as kind of healthy voices to inform his understanding of unhealthy voices in psychoses. And so, you know, he's, you know, one of the people that will be talking about how this field exists and what happens in the brain, et cetera, when someone's going through this or when they're receiving information. And there's so many other people, whether they're entrepreneurs or physicians who have some experience or research, personal experience or research experience with this work. So I'm very excited to see what transpires and how people can then be open about their own experiences.
That's great. Julie, how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
So they can reach me on my website, so beingmypurpose.com, and because its purpose is really a state of being, it's a moment-to-moment expression. So beingmypurpose.com, they can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, also beingmypurpose, and that's the best way.
Okay, and do you have a special offer that you want to mention today?
Yes, so I am offering a promotion. It's 10% off of my Discover Your Purpose session. This is actually a 3-hour session where I generally don't even know the person, and I'm able to receive 5 or 6 pages of information about their purpose, how it has manifested, what it could look like in the future, what blocks exist, and what actions they can take. And so all of my clients go through this session, and the purpose then provides so much clarity around both their business and career aspirations, but also their personal lives in terms of relationships and the type of impact that they want to make on the world. So I'm happy to offer that to your audience. And the promo code is Smashing the Plateau.
Great. Well, thank you for offering that to our audience. Thanks so much, Julie, for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been fascinating talking to you about understanding where you are in the fear-joy spectrum, how to lead with your intuitive side, and how to focus your time to promote creativity. My guest today has been Julie Chan, the founder of Being My Purpose. Thanks again, Julie, for joining us.
Thank you, David, for having me.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.